space age stuff here. So now I have to speak. This is negotiations between the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida chapter at the University of Central Florida. It's February 22nd, 2019, and it's 9 a.m. We have some new faces in the room, and we have some returning faces in the room, and we have some really new faces in the room.
Less than 3 months.
Yeah. So maybe we should start there and go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Hi, my name's Sarah with HR.
Hi, I'm Brianna. I'm an office assistant for Charlie and Sherry.
Baron Dickinson, Alamo in Blue.
Ross Wolfman, Associate Dean in the College of Community Innovation and Education.
I'm Chuck Riley, Assistant Vice Provost and Associate Dean for Academic Affairs in Engineering and Computer Science.
I'm Mike Matamore with Allen Norton Blue.
Sherry Andrews, Associate General Counsel and Associate Provost.
I'm Charlie Piper, Contract Compliance and Administrative Support.
Scott Longhead, UFFUCF President.
Louis Shredda, Bruce Wiggins, Paralegal.
John Fouth, Biology Department.
John Rabel from the Center for Distributed Learning.
Giovanna from History Department.
Jen Sandoval, Medicals and School of Communication and Media, the UFF-UCF Chief Negotiator for now.
Rich Sawicka, Counsel to the Union.
And Stella. She knows it's just very exciting. Bargaining is very exciting. She wants to be awake for it.
Look, one of us is going to cry today. We're not sure.
I don't think it's going to be so.
We don't know the age of the person who's going to cry, but someone's going to cry. Okay. Well, are we ready to begin?
Mm-hmm. I think we are.
Let's do it.
Okay. All we right. have the minutes from last session.
On item number one, shouldn't that say the minutes from the previous meeting, not the February 1st meeting?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the date.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The minutes were from the previous meeting, though.
Oh.
It was in December.
Right. December 19th.
December 19th.
We'll change it to say the previous meeting, and that way we'll never have to change it again.
So we're good with, are you still looking at it? Sure.
Everything else is looks fine to me, just the date.
Okay. All right, so with that change, we're good with the minutes. What next?
I think we were going to, we had been discussing 12 and 13 in our last meeting. We were going to go back and make some adjustments or changes. And so I think we have new proposals for both of those. So we can give you both the tracked changes and the non-tracked. That would be helpful. 13
is the same.
13 is the same. We didn't change 13 because that was not. Okay, so I'll let you hand out those and not.
It's cute.
She's okay. She's just making her little baby sounds.
I know. It's like literally changed my whole mood this morning.
It's a bargaining tack.
Can I that back, Sharon? I think you need another one, don't you, Jennifer? Are you one short?
This is 13.
Oh.
I have 12.
Sorry, I just grabbed up too many of ones.
Let's see. Maybe you could share that one. And I'll give you another 12. Did somebody miss one? 12?
I think we all. Do
I think John needs the track changes.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You want to go through this, Charlie?
All right. I'm going to look over your shoulder, though, because I think we haven't made a non-tracked copy. Just, okay. So, here, let me just look over Sherry's, because that way we can look at it together.
Sure.
For the notice period at the very top, 12.2, we were listing last time when you were talking about taking auxiliary, and we moved them from this part at the top to down to CNG auxiliary. And it's kind of easier to see if you have the non-track version to see where it goes, because with all the movement, and I tried to make it easy, but... So the auxiliary goes down and shares the same notice period as CNG. The A&P appointments mirror the current regulation. Multi-year appointments were moved to, because there's no real, there are also regular appointments, they were moved to ENG appointments, so they fold underneath that section. They don't need a special section of their own. I think we had talked before about for CNG, I'm not sure what the last proposal said, but the current CBA gives notice to people who have 5 or more years, so we restored that to it. Going down to ENG appointments. So it's so much simpler now because there's not all these different exclusions. We're trying to put people in the right categories. So one of the things we talked about yesterday, and I thought we were coming to a place of agreement, was that it's a really meaningful spot between 2 and 3 years, because you would want to give people a chance to be successful without having to make a decision to non-reappoint them when they've just been here enough time to get us one CPE by the time they've been here 3 years. We also heard you that you really like a bright line. So what we did is we added, there's a bright line for each of the terms. Since summer's not a semester, according to the agreement, we made it for terms so that basically a week into a term, if you get notice before then, and it depends. So if you've been here for fewer than 3 years, you will get the remainder of a term or 12 weeks, whichever is greater. If you have been here more than 3 years, then you'll get the remainder of that term that you're informed in because of these bright lines. So if you got your notice, say, on before August 14, then you would get until May 7th of 2021. And I put those example dates in there to help you see where those bright lines would hit. And then I think there were things in F that were moved around, but this has to do with the how you receive a notice of non-reappointment and how you may request the decision or reasons for the decision. That hasn't changed significantly, I don't think. So not 12.4, we weren't interested in this part having to do with financial circumstances and linking it to 13. And then 12.5, payout option, this is a pretty important piece to us because without it, and Sherry, I'm going to let you explain that part. That's the last little piece.
Well, we have, you know, this new statute, and that's not new, but it came out several years ago, statute that limits what kind of payout we can give people to a certain amount of time. But we can't even do that if we don't have a provision in our collective bargaining agreement that allows us to do that, or in a regulation. So we have not put that in regulation for the rest of the university, and we're including it in the CBA for any employees for that reason, so that we have the ability to do that.
And so your language, just to clarify, says the university can make that decision unilaterally, not provided as an option.
Right. Basically, we're saying we don't really want you hanging around being miserable. We'll pay you to just take your money and go away. But we're not cutting off your money. We're not giving you any less money. We're just saying, you know.
Or make you do work that really isn't productive.
Yeah. You know, that's what we very often do, is say to somebody, well, we'll give you some menial task just so we can
questions for them before we caucus from the team, John or Giovanna? Okay, we'll caucus for friends. Okay.
We'll leave it to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having both friends. So
Thank you.
Well, to read.
Yeah.
It's starting to get a little unwieldy, right?
Yeah, when you see so many strikeouts, but this is very clean and it gets it down to one page, which is nice. We're not.
Okay, thanks for the time to look over that. I think we do actually have a couple of questions. I think we're a lot closer, and we appreciate some of the compromises that are in here already. One question that emerges for us in the payout option is what that looks like for other employment conditions. So if somebody is paid out and that termination ends, then their access to their they can apply for COBRA, but their access to health benefits, all that other kind of stuff is eliminated. So it's just a salary payout, nothing else?
I don't have mine. I can pull up the statute.
That'd be great.
Tell you. But I think it's not.
Giovanna's got
a
confused. What statute is it?
It's, I'm going to say 245.15. I think that's what it is. Look it up. Can you look it up?
I'm going to try.
And maybe while we're trying to look that up, a question about if anybody remembers or knows where the number of 5 years or more continuous university service started to come into play with regard to auxiliary, do you have any sense of with those kinds of appointments? What percentage of people we're looking at who have more than 5 years of service? or even an estimate?
It might be able to tell you that if I can get internet, but it'll take me a little bit, but okay. I can get a number to you.
Might have to get on the guest. I had to get on the guest number.
Nick?
Am I getting service?
Well,
I'm getting service, but
my computer doesn't like.
I'm on the
leaves, audits.
WSKA 2 wouldn't let me on it.
So what
was
which
you have to
here we go.
I have it under leaves, audits, transfers, and payouts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Start forgetting it and then
I got it.
Yeah. 215.4. Oh, I had it just backwards. It's 215.425. Okay. So.
So Jen, what question are you trying to answer? How many people are?
No, she
okay.
wants to know if
what,
during the severance
that,
period,
so
is it just?
No.
Let's say if you get paid out, you get a lump sum of money, but what happens to the benefits during the payout period?
That's not the question.
Two different questions. So that question, yes, we're looking at the other issues of compensation. That question, I'm trying to figure out why 5 years would be a standard. We have some suggestions of maybe looking at a 3-year and a 5-year.
So the term severance pay, and this is in 4A, 4D, I guess, under, the term severance pay means the actual or constructive compensation, including salary, benefits, or purpose that's for employment services yet to be rendered, which is provided to an employee who has recently been or is about to be terminated. The term does not include compensation for earned, accrued, annual, sick, compensatory, or administrative leave. Those are separate. I mean, you would get that payout because that's a separate section of the statute, but it basically is your salary and your benefits.
And then does it change the amount of time that goes toward your retirement?
Like, for instance, in the FRS, do you still get the service credit of that? Would you get the same amount of your service credit as if you still remained in employment versus?
I don't think so, because I thought that you had to work on your last, you had to be in active employment on the last day of your employment credit for FRS. In other words, I don't think you can say, I'm just going to burn leave for the next 6 months and get 6 months of FRS credit.
That sounds correct, but we might want to double check that.
Because that's another concern of, you know, if we're sacrificing time in the system, you know, that's a real loss for our members.
I mean, it may be different if, let's say, for example, you have a contract, and then you're just paid out the contract term and told you don't have to come to work. I would think that probably would be different because you could. That happens sometimes, and then people are just not in active employment every day coming on site, but we burn the contract out.
Or union leave, it would count. But that's not what we're talking about here. But it is not active employment.
Yeah,
I think we were just trying to clarify, because if it's a payout, we're saying we just don't want you on campus, finish out your contract, that's different than we're paying you and there's immediate termination. Right? Like, it's a seemingly subtle difference that might have some more significant material impacts that we had questions about. I mean, our position has always been, while we understand this is probably a reasonable option, we would prefer for it to be a mutual agreement between the employee and the university.
Mm-hmm.
The other concerns that we still have with the appointment are, again, especially for our tenure earning faculty, the academic hiring cycle with some of this. So particularly when we're looking at instructional faculty being able to be on the job market, right? We don't get a lot of great benefits for choosing this career that are extrinsic. They're mostly intrinsic benefits, but one of them is that, again, I know it's a problematic term, but that dead man walking year, right? That in the academic hiring cycle, you do have the opportunity to maintain academic employment elsewhere if it's not working here. So those are two of our bigger concerns. And then with the CMG auxiliary appointments for consideration, we were thinking we'd love to see appointments with three or more get 60 days and with five or more get 90 days. And so those are kind of the three big issues for consideration for us. And we don't know if it's we thought it might be useful to talk about 13 as well. Before we try to come to agreement on that.
So this is the CMG auxiliary section that you're talking about?
Yes.
All right, so I just want to make sure you're aware that it does say if practicable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
We are unhappy and aware.
I agree with you, but of course, one of the reasons that we were trying to shift it to 60 days is because with CNG, not so much auxiliary, of course, but with CNG people, what happens is you can't see far enough out on their contract and so it's ending. So I'm ending up helping people non-reappoint and then restore. If they had just that extra month, it would help so that there wasn't back and forth on them getting sort of non-reappointed, oh, okay, I have 90 days, and then, oh, you got the grant, congratulations, we're rescinding that. So that's, I'm trying to avoid that back and forth is one of the things that I'm trying to avoid. Yet to answer your other question, there are 84 employees that are listed as in-unit auxiliary, and since August of 2014 hires, there would be 53 of them would be hired since that date. Now, remember that this is back of the envelope. There are people that were in auxiliary and rehired, so there's going to be a little margin of error on that because I'm doing it so quickly. But that's what I've got. If you look at just UCF hire date and starting in August of 2014, 53 of those people were hired since August of 2014.
So the other possibility that we're looking at for possible consideration under the ENG appointments is we know we've gone back and forth, and I'm, you know, not sure what the best. This is a tricky one, right? But going back to the idea of a date and moving the date to something like in September, if the issue is, because what we think we're hearing in terms of the ENG appointments is that people want to be able to make the decision after they've come back to that contract year and don't feel like they can make that decision over the summer while people are gone. However, we feel that something closer to in that mid-late September still does give people the opportunity to maybe make a decision after the return and also take into consideration the academic hiring cycle that is just fundamentally not changing anytime soon. Even though places like UCF talk about going to like a three term or you work two out of the three terms because such a large majority of our students are full-time active in the summer and so many of our faculty are working, it's just not the national or even international system in terms of the timing for people to look for jobs.
Okay, so repeat this. So
the suggestion
fall, you would want from August, you want it to be in a September date.
I think what they're doing, you're rejecting the three red lines and restoring it back to.
Well, yeah, we're just still really concerned about that not giving instructional faculty consideration of the academic hiring cycle. So one possibility we thought in the spirit of compromise is to go back to a date, but to move the date if you were concerned about that early August date.
See, we did move it once to August 14th. Still creates an issue.
And I think that that's a big part of our conversations in a lot of the articles that have timing associated with it, right? And I hear the concerns about that, but at some point we have to say, like, you have to make a choice, right? And the practices that we have in place for people to be able to make those choices effectively, I'm sure that mistakes are made. But if I understand correctly, some of the concerns about this emerge from not like a large number of cases of having to keep people around, and we still maintain that there are ways to terminate people who are actively causing harm on campus. I think what we've learned is that non-reappointment is significant and it matters a lot to our membership, and we understand that the logistics of it matter a lot to you, but of course our primary concern is the employment of our members and that looking as equitable as possible.
Okay, just so that I can kind of track through this, if you look at the 12 that we gave you, Jennifer, tell us what changes you would make to that. And so,
yes, our changes for consideration. So for 12.2B, we would suggest a line that says 3 or more years of continuous service provided with 60 days and 5 or more years of continuous service provided 90 days.
Okay.
For 12.2C, we suggest going back to renegotiating a date and just moving the mark.
And what date would you suggest?
So I think we're willing to look at something in mid to late September, but not later than that.
Okay.
And then for 12.5, and I'm going to be honest and say I'm not sure it's a hill to die on, but we think it would be better, categorically it would be better and more equitable if the employee agreed to the payout option instead of it being unilaterally imposed on the employee.
Just for 12.2C, is it possible for you to consider 2 bright line dates? Because I can definitely feel that a lot stronger.
What would that look like?
Like a January 7th and an August 14th, just keep it where it is.
What's the distinction between the two? The different cases?
Jennifer, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because the previous language to the deeks that we made there, where we added a bright line, was just simply 2 semesters notice. And there were really not a lot of issues with that. And I just wanted to know if you were open to, because we have 3 bright lines, because I was trying to do it once per term.
Right.
So that it helps clear everything through and give people a chance to evaluate. And we are talking about the 3 years, right? The 3 year incentive. Okay. So it would be a lot easier on us, and it makes more sense if you can give them 2 bright lines at least instead of just one. The one, it ends up, no matter where you put it, it ends up that there's people after it who need to then wait an extraordinary amount of time.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just not sure why there are people who always end up after it, you know? I mean, I think, you know, I say it continuously in this room and every other room where I'm given the option to speak, is that our management needs more training in management, because faculty are subject matter experts who become administrators with no background training or knowledge. I know that that is a challenge for you all, too. It's not just from the faculty side. But my question is, why isn't that a management issue instead of a contract issue?
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you that everyone could always use more training. I think you're looking at the trainer, though, for 1,600 faculty. And
yeah, me on the other side of it.
Yeah, exactly. And what we're not, non-reappointment is not for disciplinary issues. That's not what it's for. It's
right.
For someone who's no longer meeting the mark, or for whatever reason they're not achieving the goals that they are needed.
Which is why it seems even more difficult to understand that, like, 30-day difference of somebody not meeting the mark. As somebody who is a tenure-earning faculty who's gone through all of the evaluation processes, I'm having a hard time understanding what is that space in which people always end up falling on the other line of this. The deadlines for my evaluations are very clear and very set, and it's always very consistent about whether, you know, if you're given a CPE, the point of it is to be given the opportunity to make corrections, right? And so that, and I I'm a proponent of the CPE and the evaluation process here, because then you either say I did these specific things that you asked me to do, or I didn't. And so it just, it's very clear in the way in which that happens, at least for instructional faculty. So I don't understand the issue that you're talking about where people are unable to make that determination, but there's this like month that makes
Charlie,
the difference.
Can I ask a question? Of the most of the non-reportings that we do, and I know we don't have numbers just off the top of your head, but just as a ballpark, are my impression is they are not, for the most, they're not normally tenure earning. They are more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tenure earning people, they drop off all the time, mostly. Obviously, if you make a bid for tenure and promotion and you don't make it, that's you are automatically basically non-reporting it at one time. But I think what is more important than that is our hiring cycle is no longer everybody starts on August 8th. You got people that are starting in January. So there's another line for that three-year cycle that I think you're not thinking of in that way. Do you see?
I do, because I think that's the exception, not the rule.
We're getting a lot more people that are hired in January. I think engineering is constantly.
In some colleges, yeah, there are quite a few people that are hired to start in the spring. For example, we brought people in to start in the summer, even in some cases. Tenure earning people.
It's something I just wanted to know if you were open to considering. I could understand it's a big change to add three bright lines, but if you had the two, I think we would be super close to, I'm speaking for the team, sorry, but we would be considerably closer on an important article for everyone.
Well, let me just be willing to say this. I'm not categorically rejecting that option. But we would need to talk about what the other things look
there's
like.
There's important concessions we make here too. Auxiliary has never even been in the picture. So this is
and we recognize that. That's why we're kind of trying to come back with something reasonable.
Okay, so go ahead, sure.
No, I was going to say, be able on a break to get information about the payout option, but I'll have to check on that.
All right.
Well, do you
need some time? With the thoughts that you've expressed, we'll take a caucus. I will note that we're talking about 12.2C. Charlie said we went extremely close, Charlie. Is that what you said? And with 12.5, and 12.5, Jennifer said, not necessarily a hill. Reminding everybody.
To sum up, things look
we're all
not
being
necessarily
so
a hill
collaborative.
And extremely close. That's what I heard.
The sun could shine on us today.
I've been making all my sacrifices to the altars of bargaining.
And you know, I'm right there behind you with my metric measurements.
Oh, Lord. And can I clarify, did I hear that there's nothing new on the table for 13, right? So any conversation we have about that would be about the last version?
I think essentially your last proposal for 13 was really looked to me like you were really headed back to status quo, except for a few sort of technical things. Mm-hmm. I think we accepted all the technical things that we could.
Okay.
And February 1st, did we not? We have a copy of that.
Yeah, we did. And we kind of got into, well, but these two go together.
Right.
So then we switched into our conversation on 12, so we didn't really, but let me give you what we have on.
Yeah, let me go. We'll look at it while you're focusing.
Yeah. Okay.
That's 13?
This is 13.
The negotiator is back.
Thank you.
I relinquish the gavel to Stella.
When she becomes an attorney, you'll know why.
Only a labor attorney, though. Only on our side.
Okay. Well,
I was going to say. In response,
we might be able to give and take here and see if we can come to a resolution. I guess we'll start with. If we can agree to the change that you articulated at 12.2B, which would be three or more would be 60 days, or five or more would be 90 days with the existing language. And in 12.2C, Charlie really wants me to ask you for 2 days. I don't know how else to say it.
I appreciate your transparency.
Did anyone else see a
bus? I think we were all really uncertain if this was Charlie's request. So that really clarifies it.
Well, it's one of those buses, two buses stuck together
with
a bendy part.
Yeah, double decker with a bendy bit.
And then, well, the payout option, we're going to flatten the hill and suggest our language be taken because that's kind of how the payout option is. It does have the effects that you have brought to our attention for that limited time period of not having a continuing benefits or retirement credits. But, you know, I mean, if someone is going to do something useful and productive for us and we're paying them, we're going to have them do something useful and productive for us. But there are some instances in which they want to move on and we want them to move on, and having that severance option is something that we really would like to have. So we give on 22.B, you give on 12.5, we give 12.2B, you give 12.5, and you tell me what to say to Charlie about 12.2C.
I think we say September 30th, Charlie.
Anyway.
Yes, Charlie. I accept your amendment to that language. Charlie, if you could, just one more time, I know that we're going through these dates a lot, but just we need one more pass through at clarity for why there would be two dates. So the January date would be for people who started on a January semester, because I think then we got confused by bringing in the idea that we hire people off cycle, but we're still evaluated on cycle, right? So it doesn't matter when you start your employment relationship with UCF, your evaluation cycle joins into the typical evaluation cycle. So does that then give somebody a year and a half notice of January 7th? Okay.
Well, I guess if you look at the dates that I had there, it would remain fixated. But I think what maybe the part that is getting missed is that the trigger is 3 years in the position.
Right.
So if you're getting hired in January, your 3 years comes at a different time than that typical August 8 hire. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm saying is for that three-year breaking point, I'm trying to capture something different there. But I was, like I said, I was pretty sure that the bus hit me on its way through, and that was a concession that we were willing to make to get to a happy, sunshiny place today.
But let me go on the record saying I'm passionately asking Charlie to be asked that we have 2 days.
And her team is agreeing with her passion.
The power you yield, Charlie.
But you see how much I believe in the process, right?
All right.
It's because she has to do all the work.
That's why. I know it. A couple of clarifying questions from the team.
On 12.5, looking at the language, and thank you, Sherry, for providing that statutory reference. The statutory reference, it did reference that the payout was limited to 20 weeks. Is that something that our contract would override that 20 weeks?
So no, we couldn't.
No, we couldn't.
Okay.
Is
and
that
then,
true?
Mm, yeah. I say it could.
I don't know. The statute says no public entity can pay more than 20
weeks. I don't
want
to fight about it, not with you, but with the court. But obviously, we have a constitutional right to bargain, and we're bargaining.
Yeah, I know, but I think we can't contract to violate the law.
Well, our contracting process supersedes the law. And if our contract says X, the employer has to conform with the function of the exercise of our constitutional right. Are we going to do that in this instance? No. Are we going to have a fight about it in this instance? No. But that's my position, and that's just so you know.
Yeah. Well, and our position is that,
of course,
we're bound.
I know
by, we're bound.
I've had
by
this discussion 5,000 times.
I know we have.
You know,
yeah.
And,
we had it with the retirement issue.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
just,
that.
Yeah.
So also in your payout option, would our members receive annual or sick payouts as well?
If they were entitled to it.
Yeah. I mean, if they have, yeah, that's
okay.
A different statutory.
I mean, in
statutory
the statute it says that these,
it,
this
well,
20 weeks of severance pay
right
is not inclusive of payouts for leave balances that are offered to the workforce.
If you're a 9-month employee, you're not entitled
right,
to
right,
sick
right
leave and, excuse me,
yeah,
annual leave.
Annual.
And sick leave, you have to be here for 10 years. So if you're entitled to
it. If you're entitled
to it.
If you're entitled to it, you receive the
yes
payout.
But that,
you're not back in.
But your language only suggests salary.
That's all it's talking about.
Right, because the payouts are found elsewhere.
So it doesn't hurt it to say all these other things if you're entitled to it.
Well,
you know,
I think it's unnecessary. And John, we've always done payouts. We have people that are fired that are, you know, that get their payouts and such. So this is, it's indifferent.
That's,
you know,
that's
it's
required in
but,
the statute.
Place.
But if that,
yeah, good.
That way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I see a thumbs up? I saw a thumbs up.
Well, no, that
to
was
his questions
the floor
that
back
he had. He said that he had some questions.
No, I yield the floor back to.
Okay, so I think our one sticking point that we're just, you know, is the academic hiring cycle. So we just really like to go to that September, just a single date. With apologies to you, Charlie, because I know that it's difficult for you, but hopefully that will that would continue to be the exception.
Didn't we say September 30th?
That was what I heard mentioned too.
Mm-hmm. What did you say? Middle caucus?
Yeah, just 5 minutes in the hall. Okay. Can I ask a quick question while you go out there about 13? Because I looked at it. Just I'm too many pieces of paper in front of me since we've been talking about these together. And this, of course, looks the same, except
it's
the last
yeah
one just because we haven't changed 12 yet.
I think
yeah
it has to be,
okay,
yeah, it has to change.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks for that short caucus. We're good with that. I think that if we were to agree to what we've, I think, in verbally have agreed to, I think 13.6 becomes 12.2 B and C.
My chief editor, John Rabel.
No, it's just B. Like, for instance, it would affect the CMG and auxiliary appointments. Because going back to the status quo language in here,
I got it. Okay, so it's yeah it's all it's auxiliary C and G, but not E and G.
Correct.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
So
yeah
it would just be B.
B.
Okay.
Okay.
That's
well, now
my
what do we? Okay. What should we do about all this? We're in process.
I wish
should
I could print new ones, but I'm not running back to
Yellowhead
Hall. It's not happening.
No. Well, let me ask you this, Charlie. Could you make the changes electronically and just send us an electronic version so that we have that?
I can do that after the session. Yeah.
Well, why don't we do it now?
Do
so
it now.
I mean, we could actually then say that's it, even though we don't sign it on a piece
yeah
of paper.
Okay.
We can both say
yeah
that's
yeah
it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. See any reason not?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have access to printing.
I guess I could send it to Scott, and you can go and print them.
You can
print
send
your mind
parts.
It's
sketchy.
Right?
No, you can send them to me. Do you need them in color or black and white?
We don't need them in color
because
there shouldn't
be a
track.
Because it'll
be
the final, yeah.
Oh, okay. I can just send them to me. I'll go upstairs.
Oh, wait. Just chill first.
Okay.
Tell stories. Do something.
Okay.
Nice.
I need to concentrate on my...
Yeah, just send them to me, and I'll print them. I'll just upstairs.
Okay. That works.
Just give me a sock, and then... I may need to just talk through what it looks like. So.
Yeah, why don't you do that? We'll all. You can, as you go through it, ask
John
questions.
Do you think John Rabel could just like sit next to me?
Yeah, John,
I'm
you, John's welcome to.
Sure. There's a chair right over there.
Do you
mean
to?
Can you
yeah, I got it.
Oh, I
have
on.
Okay.
Okay.
No, we'll
have to take this. Okay, so what do we need to do now?
You want to talk about salaries? Just a light discussion about money?
For 13, are there any changes?
13?
Do we have any copy? You asked if we have copies of it.
Okay, let me ask about 13. It says...
Do you need 13? Yeah, I wrote them in. Okay.
What's 8.5C?
Yes.
C is non-tenure earning multi-year renewable appointments.
Okay.
Charlie, 8.5C, does that need to stay in there?
Well, we haven't finished 8.5, so what happens is after we're done, I
get
go through and take a look at all of those.
All right.
All right, so what I'm going to do is...
So you are a happy camper today.
Because it's my last day at UCF.
This is your last day of bargaining.
Yeah, I know. For a while.
I mean,
just for a little bit.
This should be my last. That's not true. I have two thesis defenses, so I'll be back.
Oh.
Cool.
But it is always my joy and my honor to come back for my students.
And it's a whole lot more fun than sitting at this table.
Okay. I don't think anybody hates being at this table more than you, Sherry. I appreciate that you always come with a smile. But
you know,
I know that it is your least favorite place to be.
It may be because I've been doing it for 14 years.
Really?
I bargained the first local contract here. So, yes, I've been doing this a very long time, and it has not. And that first one, as you know, everywhere in the state, they were all horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was my introduction to doing this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, it's not that I hate it. I'm just, you know, kind of
when you
tired
went to law school, did you imagine you'd be doing labor and management law?
No, I had no clue. There was not even a course offered in labor law when I was in law school.
Because you're a contract lawyer.
No, I'm not a contract lawyer.
Oh, what's your training?
Mostly, well,
oh, I did, right, okay.
Employment, definitely.
Employment
and labor. Civil rights. And,
civil rights, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I took a labor law class.
Did you?
I did. Because in my master's degree, you had your, you know, required courses, and a lot of our electives were, because it was in the law school, or just regular law classes.
There may have been a labor law class. Surely University of Florida in the mid-80s
they had a guy. They had Boberly.
Yeah. They also had a public sector labor law, which is very unusual to see in our
FSU had it.
Well, I would have expected that at FSU.
Yeah.
But still, that's unusual.
Yeah.
And whatever it is you do for a law professor, you're in law school, I don't know, research assistant.
The assistant, yeah.
One of my jobs as Moberly's research assistant was to put together the Florida supplement for the public sector class.
Okay.
There were some fun things.
Okay.
But not at the university level.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, but you know, what people don't understand, and you know, you guys know this, is that and they always label it employment and labor as if they are the same thing. And they are miles apart.
That's true.
They really are.
My mediation course was employment / labor.
Yes.
Oh.
Can we turn this off?
That
I did.
Would
I
be.
Is it off?
Oops. I got this one.
It's running.
I don't know. I always imagine a student journalist listening to our recordings being really excited when it's story time on there.
Yeah.
It's
like leaving a $20 bill in your dissertation to see if anybody read it. This was either
dropped
little anecdotes just to see if anyone was listening.
So we have reached an agreement on the language for Article 12 and Article 13, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I'll do is I'm going to initial these three pages at the bottom and date it, and then we can exchange them. And I'm going to sign on the left side just because there's no reason to really, but... Enough's enough.
We're not done yet. Wait. Got one
more thing. We've done an hour and 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That
picture was taken
20
years ago. I know.
I see that a lot. I finished my last bargaining. I think it was with the Volusia teachers.
Mm-hmm. Did everybody sign in?
I think so.
Information that I got as the co-chair is that a decision was going to be made at the end of this week. But... the decision now is between nothing and one
between
person.
Between no one and nothing.
Yeah, between no one and nothing.
Oh, great. Well,
it was a really wonderful use of a month of my sabbatical.
Yeah.
So, and where would you like to? What would you like to talk about next?
So, we are happy to talk about salary. We have a proposal.
Okay.
I know that we have discussed, maybe I should check with my lawyer briefly. Can we give them the MOU, or did we just talk about that?
That's fine.
Okay. We're going to need a minute, I guess, to prepare for that. But essentially, our proposal would cover a two-year agreement on salary, including conversations about releases for UFF privileges. And we're open to talking about signing an MOU on that, or also discussing today articles and areas in which we can agree to status quo with some reopeners and kind of give everybody month off here marketing before we start again for some of the things that we think are more complicated. We know leaves is complicated, intellectual property is complicated. Some of these things would seem to require some external expertise and some other pieces of that work that we might want to invest more time in. So that's kind of what we're looking at in terms of that. So I guess we'll take a really brief caucus and then talk about presenting your idea.
We need one of those stones about how many feet we
want. I know, right?
He's going to leave this here.
But then I would never feel confident.
I feel for you. Some of the bigger places.
Some of the most exciting places.
Exotic vacation spots. Oh, yes, Florida.
No lack of this site.
Yes.
Stop by and watch spring training games that haven't started yet.
Yeah, I know.
Next week, right?
Tomorrow? I think today. I think some of them are today.
Wow.
Might be. Yeah.
But
makes sense for
spring training.
Yeah, I saw it first game. Yeah. First game. That makes things much more challenging.
Especially Lakeland.
Yeah, Lakeland.
Joker Marchand. Second thing, the Tigers.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have a unfair labor practice hearing in Lakeland on the 13th. And instead of paying $90 for a room, you pay like $450 for a room.
Public or private?
Public, yeah. But they play the Red Sox on the 14th.
I hate the Red Sox.
Oh, I know more. So who's your team?
Detroit.
Detroit. Are you from that area?
I went to high school and college there. I'm originally from Northern Ontario.
Okay.
Sudbury, 300 miles north of Toronto. People in Sudbury are Southerners. Excuse me, Toronto.
In Toronto.
They have a draw.
They all have accents.
So we're back on.
Are we back on?
Yeah, we're on. We're back on.
Is this thing going? I guess it is. Okay.
We are going to have ongoing conversations with our people about salary and hope to have a response to you at some point coming up. And more information and more on our position on salary. We don't have any questions about the salary issue as it sits at the table right now. I think one thing that you mentioned is that there was some articles that you want us to consider as status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And if possible, if we get some authorization in the area of salary, we can write something up and send it to your team.
Yeah, we're open to having that conversation anytime. We don't need to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm still the point person for all the communication. Until I leave this mortal coil.
Don't die, please.
Is it from Hamlet when I shuffle off this mortal coil?
I think
or is
so.
That Hamlet or me?
Yeah. Maybe it's Macbeth.
No, I was thinking Hamlet or Macbeth, but I think it's Hamlet.
Macbeth didn't want to die.
Sounds like Shakespeare.
It is Shakespeare, I just don't know.
I think it was Hamlet.
I don't know. All right. So if I, let's see. One of the articles in particular, it seemed like we're far apart, or there's, it's a necessity to do some additional work would be 18.
Yeah.
So inventions and works felt like one that I thought we could possibly agree to go to status quo and then look at reopening it in the next cycle. Look at our other 24 was a possibility for status quo and reopening.
What's 24?
Benefits. Okay. Or are able to come to an agreement on salary in the near future, I think it would be completely reasonable to start looking at 17 and 21 as status quo on the openers. I think that would get us to, and then 16 as well. And that would get us very close to closing, agreeing to reopen a couple this next year, a couple more the year after. Have more focused conversations about those things instead of mm-hmm. trying to work with all of the language that we've been attempting to deal with.
Yeah. When you are making or attempting to make really major changes to complicated articles, it's hard to do it in a full book cycle.
I agree.
Okay. Do you want to? Do you have any questions about how these six articles would play themselves out in process if we were to reach agreement on salary?
Well, what I thought I heard you say was that the 17 and 21 are directly conditional. Condition on making progress with salary. Okay. The others not necessarily.
Yes.
Okay.
It's 18, 24, and 8. So
right.
do you want to take it to caucus?
What about 16?
What about 16?
Oh, 16 go in the other category of not directly tied to salary.
Okay.
Yeah, we can take a quick caucus.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Getting your steps in, Sherry. Back and forth, up and down these halls.
Hey, I needed them. I got on the scales this morning. I was like, oh, no, this is not good.
Oh, stop.
We did. There are worse jobs.
I was at bargaining this week at FSU, and somebody from the general counsel's office said, the other attorneys in my office want to come and start sitting in and hearing and listening to this. And I said, well, has all the paint in the university dried and the barber shop closed? Mm-hmm. I mean, well, they have nothing else to do.
Real bored.
Okay. So what we can do is, with regard to 8, we can agree to status quo with an automatic reopener.
Okay.
With regard to 16 and discipline, what we're going to provide to you is a 16 with a minor tweak of a clarification that we think you will find acceptable. So we think we're going to be able to proceed with that. We're going to.
If not, we'll roll it. But
it's not that big of a deal, but we think it's just a matter of a clarification that everybody will be okay with. With regard to 24, we need to. There's that issue of retiree email addresses that we still have to consult with whoever does email addresses.
Joel.
Jamie.
Yeah.
So that might
be thinking of names that you like.
Okay.
We've been through this and we never can come up with something that
it's still open.
That's still open. We never agreed to a name.
No.
I know. I had forgotten about it too until Joel pinged me the other day.
The domain that the addresses would be?
It couldn't be Pegasus, I remember that.
Yeah.
Something was wrong with Knights, something old, mm-hmm. Knights, Silver Knights.
Well, we liked Silver Knights, but then you guys said that seemed too old. So.
Forever Young Knights.
That's cute, but long.
Okay.
Yes.
Or so just Knights Forever.
Knights Forever.
Or Forever Knights.
Forever Knights.
Well, Forever Knights is a program for...
Is that for the
that's
disease?
That's what, okay, that's
people
what it is.
Are having problems.
Oh, okay, but Knights Forever?
Knights Forever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll come up with... This sounds very like In Memoriam.
I know.
Yeah, it does sort of like...
It's trickier than it seems. Nights. It seems like something we should just be able to...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you still want the same bargaining schedule coming up? You said something earlier that
about earlier?
Because we've got two.
You're not available on the 14th?
I am available on the 14th.
Oh, you are available.
Yeah. We changed the date.
That's right. Yeah, I think we're fine now. I will just probably not be in Florida. I will be available by phone and can call in, and we'll have Rich. We have a plan. We're always happy to talk about closing things before then.
And 18 is...
We definitely can put that one off. Mm-hmm. We can stay with status quo.
Did you ever have somebody look at it? Oh, you did?
Yeah. There may be one tiny change that we might want to, I'll bring to the table on that one, but I think it is in your advantage, to the advantage of the employee, so.
Didn't you say most of it is?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the current one has some language that Liz Plonoff, before we were claiming rights to, and she's like, there's no reason for us to claim rights to that. I don't want to give that back to the employee, so. And she keeps pinging me, have you agreed on 18 yet? Can I get that money back? I'm like, well, no, sorry, we have it, so. And then the one that we still haven't talked about is the non-numbered workload article, too, for two versions. And nine.
Okay, so we're going to send you a 16, or we'll bring a 16 next time with a minor tweak to it, and but generally status quo. 8 will be status quo with an automatic reopener.
I'll send you 18. That one little tiny check on thing on 18.
Okay, 18 status quo with an automatic reopener, and 24 we're going to circle around to see if we can resolve that email address, and then we can proceed with that and agree on that. So it sounds to us like we're probably knocking out 6 today, 6 different articles.
Other things I missed, John?
21. We provided 21 to...
Yeah, but you wanted that to be conditional on salary.
If we come out of salary.
Okay. Yeah, 17.
We didn't talk about those in caucus because they were conditioned on salary. We just don't have an answer at this moment.
Who is providing the answer with regard to salary right now?
I think a lot of people weigh in. I don't know if there's one person. Wouldn't you say, Sharon? It's a village.
Yeah. Village of the board.
Huh?
The village of the board.
Well, I mean, the board relies on the data that they get from the financial... the budget office and the CFO, our interim CFO and other people. That, I mean, they have a finance committee of the board, right, which they see all of that information. It's not so.
So I'm not sure if any of that was in flux at the particular moment.
Well, we're getting pretty thin in some of those ranks.
Anything else we missed?
How about one?
Recognition management rights. I have down as like those kind of being. That'd be cool.
I think
one or four?
Yeah, one and four, I think. Well, one and two. Oh, we already did two. One and four are certainly things that we think status quo is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of tying 1429 through 31 or 32 as loose ends at the end, but certainly
those are things that are easier to, you just tie those up at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
Productive session.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So in the next session, you'll come with those other four.
Yep.
And we'll just sign it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in the small ones, you can send.
Yeah, I may even email them, or one of them at least.
And you'll come back with something about salaries as well.
We will come back with something about salaries.
Okay.
All right, everyone, have a great weekend.
If we have anybody left working in the budget office by the time we...
Who do you have to call? Get some crack team of temporary financial people?
I will say, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.